almost no one raises the real issue of tax avoidance, right? And of the rich just not paying their fair share. I mean, it feels like I'm at a firefighters conference and no one's allowed to speak about water.
Today we walk into this house with an iconic South African plant, the Aloe Ferox. We must take the bitter with the sweet.
It is a matter that is under consideration. And all I would say is that watch this space.
Welcome to this week's episode of the SA Money Report. This financial podcast is brought to you by Fin24 and hosted by Deputy Editor Ahmed Arif.
Hello and welcome to another episode of SA Money Report. I'm your host, Deputy Fin24 Editor Ahmed Arif. Our weekly show helps to demystify and inform you, our dear listeners, about the newest, most interesting, or most crucial financial or business news in SA. We also provide you a quick peek behind the curtain on one of our big stories. This week, we are just focusing on our one big story, which is the ongoing saga involving Steinhoff. To recap, this all began, at least in the public eye, in December 2017 with Marcus Juster's shock resignation as CEO of the global furniture and household goods company. This led to a catastrophic collapse of its share price and wiped out about $200 billion from Steinhoff's market capitalization amid what was at the time described as accounting irregularities. The last time on this podcast, we untangled the mess involving Steinhoff's case against one of Juster's friends, Malcolm King, who helped Juster allegedly defraud the retailer. And now over the last two or so weeks, things have moved forward in quick succession in two seemingly contradictory processes involving Steinhoff, both aiming to bring some sort of finality to everything. Helping us again to figure out what is actually going on here is Fin24's investigative reporter and resident Steinhoff expert, Jan Cronier. Jan, things have been quickly moving into place with Steinhoff, and it's highly likely that some of what we are talking about could possibly even be superseded by other developments by the time this episode goes out. But let's start simply and go through this in a completely non-chronological, but hopefully for our audience's logical way. So it took most of last week, but there were four voting processes involving a settlement proposal. So my first question here is, what exactly is Steinhoff actually proposing?
Hi, Ahmed. Yes, after months of negotiations, claimants who lost out in Steinhoff's share price plunge that started in late 2017 finally got a chance to vote on whether or not they wanted to accept settlement offer from the retailer. As you would recall, Steinhoff's share price fell off a cliff in December 2017 when its former CEO, Marcus Juster, abruptly resigned, and it's been depressed ever since. Now, after this happened, about 100 lawsuits were lodged against Steinhoff in South Africa and Europe, where its holding company is registered. And instead of arguing each lawsuit separately, Steinhoff proposed a global settlement that would cover everyone. Claimants would get a proportion of their verified claims back, and in return, they would drop all claims against Steinhoff. Now, Ahmed, what's important here is the size of the pot to be shared amongst all the litigants. And it's huge by South African standards, even by international standards. It now sits at around 25 billion rand. And there are three classes of creditors. Each gets slightly different payouts. So essentially last week, these creditors, for the first time, actually voted yes or no on the settlement.
And so what happened with their voting? Yes or no?
Right. So Steinhoff said that there was overwhelming support for its proposal from all the creditor classes. Now, something that makes this a slightly more complex is that there is a process happening in South Africa and there's a process happening in Holland. And these two processes are interconditional. But in any case, the creditor classes in South Africa and the creditor classes in Holland all supported the proposal. So this means that it can now move ahead.
Steinhoff seems to have found a way to kind of help it with funding for some of its settlement offer. What did he do?
Yeah, I mean, so funding has been a big issue for Steinhoff. It's been battling liquidity constraints for a long time. And now it has to find 25 billion rand, more or less, to compensate the claimants with. This week, it managed to get some of that, of those funds by placing 370 million shares in its South African subsidiary Pepkor. It owns at the moment, I believe, about 68% of Pepkor. Anyway, it placed these shares successfully and in the process raised 7 odd billion rand. Now, that's, of course, only just less than a third of the total funds that it needs, and the rest will come from some of its other assets. It has some cash on hand that it has put aside for this, and some people will also elect to get half of their payouts in Pepkor shares if they so choose. So, in any case, Steinhoff is of the view that it has enough funding to pay out all the claimants and still continue as a going concern.
So aside from getting those successful votes, Steinhoff actually needs the courts to ratify all of this. And in the words of its current CEO, Louis Dupria, bring the entire saga to a close. Does it seem likely that the courts will accept all of this?
As I mentioned a little bit earlier, a high court in South Africa and a similar court in Amsterdam in the Netherlands both have to sanction this settlement proposal, and that will depend on whether anyone objects. As I understand how the process works, it's almost like at a wedding. At some stage, the court will say, does anyone object to making this proposal final? And then you have to speak up. And we know that some people are going to object because they've already actually lodged papers to do so. And these are the former owners of shoe retailer Tekkie Town. Now, they don't want to be paid out under the settlement proposal. They want Steinhoff to be liquidated. And in fact, they've gone to court to argue this. And I'm sure that we'll speak about that in a little bit. But there may be others, Amit, that also object. We'll have to see. In addition to the objections, the courts in South Africa and the Netherlands then have to verify that the whole process took place legally. Every T was crossed and every I was dotted. And only if they both agree does the settlement become binding.
So, yeah, and jumping on that topic. So with the voting process having sort of sorted out and now they want to ratify it with the courts, all of this is kind of building up Steinhoff's hopes to bring finality to all of this. But then you've got this other right hook that basically knocked it down again with the courts ruling around the bid to liquidate it. So what exactly happened there and how is Steinhoff challenging that?
Yes, this is the Tekkie Town matter that I briefly mentioned above. Now, the former owners of Tekkie Town essentially say that they want their company back. They sold it to Steinhoff in a share swap a number of years ago. And as you can imagine, the Steinhoff shares that they got in return are now worth very little. And they say that this is a clear case of fraud. They were induced to give up their valuable company to Steinhoff under false pretenses. And for restitution, they want the whole of Tekkie Town back. Separately, they believe that they can run it better than it is being run now. And they are of the view that the way to go about this, Ahmed, is to have Steinhoff declared insolvent and have it liquidated. And as you know, broadly, a company is declared insolvent if it can't pay its debts. And Tekkie Town is arguing that Steinhoff cannot pay its debts. Now, Steinhoff is absolutely opposed to this. In fact, liquidation is what it's been fighting to avoid since Joosten resigned. And it has argued that a South African court does not have jurisdiction to even hear a liquidation case because its ultimate holding company is registered in the Netherlands and falls under Dutch law. This is indeed the case since 2015. The top Steinhoff company, the top of the pyramid, has been registered in Amsterdam. So Steinhoff is arguing the whole liquidation case is moot because it can't even be heard. But the judge in the case, which is actually ongoing at the moment, dismissed this objection by Steinhoff and said the case could continue. Now Steinhoff has lodged leave to appeal with the Supreme Court of Appeal, and we heard it's set to lodge some kind of objection or complaint with the Constitutional Court. We don't know exactly what kind of complaint it proposes to lodge there. So it is fighting tooth and nail against this, as you can imagine.
So with that liquidation hearing starting, we have all these players and everything's really complicated and the web kind of extends quite far. And we now have a whole bunch of parties to want to join the case as well. Why now, when everything is so complicated? What do these guys want exactly?
Good question. And it's become extremely complicated. So Steinhoff and Tekitown are not the only groups that have interest in the settlement proposal. As you can imagine, all the creditors also have an interest. They are the people that stand to be paid out part of the 25 billion rand. And there are thousands of different creditors in three different classes. Now, a number of different people have sought to intervene in this case. Last week, two groups started this. One of them said it was representing creditors. Another group said it was representing Steinhoff's administrators in the Dutch court proceedings. Their process is slightly different to ours. Both wanted to intervene, Ahmed, to oppose the liquidation. But the judge ruled against them, which they have now appealed. And then this week, another three groups sought to intervene, also, as I understand it, all to oppose the liquidation. So all these interventions are happening, let's say, to support Steinhoff. And the three groups that intervened this week are Steinhoff's former auditors, Deloitte, a group which represents large South African fund managers called Hamilton, and then lastly, a group called Demure Recovery Services, which says it is acting on behalf of 100 so applicants. It's quite unclear for me exactly what Demure's role in all this is or how it expects to be granted leave to intervene. In any case, intervention applications, as you can imagine, can actually stop a court case in its tracks as the judge has to rule whether or not parties should be allowed to take place. And that is more or less what has happened. The judge has to rule whether these three new parties can intervene, and she had no time this week to actually hear the merits of the case of whether or not Steinhoff is insolvent. Now, this has angered the lawyers for Tekitown. Their advocate, Mr. Willy Dumini, said earlier this week that the whole thing is an attempt to derail the hearing. You know, the merits of the case are not being argued. Steinhoff denied this. But as it stands, things are moving at a snail's pace because there are now seven sets of lawyers that have to be given the chance to speak each time the judge makes a suggestion or a ruling. And that can pretty much take up, you know, a day set aside for a hearing very quickly. The end result is that this case has been adjourned to sometime in October for these intervention bids to be heard. And while Tekitown's lawyers were strongly opposed to this, there's not much really that they can do. So we'll have to see what happens later in October.
One step forward, two steps back. We'll talk again when we know what's going on, Jan. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Ahmed.
This brings our show to an end. The music in this episode is courtesy of Getty Images and Epidemic Sound. This week's installment was produced with the help of Shantae Schatz. Thank you for listening.